Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's January 22nd, 2023, and we got 313. Please mute your phone, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you. If you're not on the show talking, please mute your phone, because I'm going to put everybody on tonight at hits up their hand. Let me get 440 on real quick. There you go. Scotty, you're
hey,
here?
Man. Yep.
Hey, how you doing? Okay.
Take her away, Scott.
Hold on. Let me get people on here. Let me get 989. Come on.
Greetings to your rabble.
There he is.
Oh, my God. Wow, Paul.
It's
how you
the
doing?
Poster.
My God. Cancel that ad in the front journal. God, Doug, we found him. Yeah.
Well,
he's either got a new phone or he's a new man.
He's down, right?
Nice to hear you, buddy. 734, you're on. I think that's Adrian.
Yes, and welcome back, Paul.
Thank you.
Funny, I was sick for 3 weeks. Nobody said a word about me being gone. Huh. Okay. Okay, 810.
Because we sent the flowers already to your bride because we thought you were gone.
Okay, guys. The show's all yours.
Matt gives you to get a box of chocolate with it.
I haven't been around for about a month, so I got to make up on
it. Yes, you do, Paul. You guys can
that wasn't Paul. That was 313. Anyway,
yeah, that was 313.
Sorry about that, Paul. I didn't mean to.
They said the Vision was the first to go.
Get my
I hope it's first.
Okay, Scotty, would you like to start the
show? Yeah, I think you need to go take your appointment to Miracle Queer.
Oh, man. Wow. He's missed you. Can you tell? Anyway, hey, I guess I'd like to ask some people what they've seen as far as we're going to call Team Curry and some of the stuff they've been putting out lately. I've been highly disappointed that they want to go down the old dirt road instead of going along on the pavement. You know what I mean? Dirty tricks. And bad
yeah, I heard they're offering new product to retirees. They're offering it to everybody else. Any place that they're in trouble, they got, you know, they must not have done well in the first election. All of a sudden, there's product announcements everywhere. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you guys will get your, you know, they'll give you cola to the retirees or something. Oh, they got to offer something, right?
Well, you'd think.
It's a little late.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for you it is. Sorry, Adrian, Jim.
I talked to somebody from 598, and that announcement, the product announcement, maybe the 598 million or whatever, it's over 500 million that they're talking about investing in the Flint in 598. I talked to somebody there. You know, normally when they do a town hall meeting or they have, you know, they didn't even shut down production. There's at least the last I talked to them, they're not even sure who the audience was, who went to that announcement, but either way, there wasn't a whole lot of clapping.
Yeah, there was. They were sitting on their hands a lot.
One thing I was wondering is why didn't they ask them, hey, what year local agreement is 598 working under, fellas?
Yeah. Scott, when you would jump in, Scott.
Is Curry trying?
I had to unmute. Sorry. We gave you a local agreement, and it took us down to a 10-minute break. One 10-minute break before lunch, and a half-hour paid lunch, and that's all you're getting. Same thing for Waiting Dead. I'm seeing the pattern. And there's no investment in 598. The big investment went over to Engine Plant.
Engine Plant,
over
yeah.
Over 500, over $500 million at the engine plant, and then was it Rochester and Bay City? And then
yeah,
that's
right.
A total of about $1 billion.
Right, because there's something they're not telling you. They're talking about a commitment to ICE or to internal combustion engines. But that's because they know that the members know what this EV deal is, what they're doing. And what they're not saying is that commercial vehicles are exempted from a lot of the EPA restrictions. Even you know when they first – diesels were completely unrestricted for years. And you can't – you're not going to go battery-powered on a semi-truck. You're just not doing it. I mean, the name of the game is weight versus cargo. The more the equipment weighs, the less cargo they can carry. They get paid based on freight rates. 80,000 is a gross, so they're not going to go EV on trucks because the amount of weight for the additional weight to run a semi-truck like that or run a big vehicle, they'll lose the cargo. So it's just not feasible. It's not going to happen. So commercial vehicles are always going to be internal combustion engines. But as far as the passenger cars and the rest of the whole, that's what's really going to hurt the existing workforce.
Yeah, and you're not going to get away from heavy-duty vehicles to go to battery-operated, EV. You're not going to do it. You need a big diesel or a big gas motor. You know what I mean?
Well,
all these guys are out in the ranches.
There were some places that were actually talking about this for, like local delivery trucks. Box trucks and even some small like semis, but you know the stuff that runs locally it doesn't carry a lot of weight. And there was I read an article where it was a trucking company was going to build a facility and they wanted to include the charging stations for what it would take to be able to charge any type of semi or any large truck. And they took it to the local building department. And they told them. They wanted to know what they were doing and what this was, and they told them that, you know, with what they have allocated, what's in the blueprint, is more than what the city, you know, the amount of current, the amount of power they would take to charge them all is more than what the entire city uses in a day.
Right. And it comes back to what Elon Musk said. The EV is a nice vehicle. It's not for everyone. If everyone had one, our grid wouldn't be able to handle it. And it's been, I'm guessing, 6 weeks ago, Mary Barrett quietly said that they're not going to put an EV motor in the heavy-duty vehicles. They'll maintain the status quo. And nobody
right.
caught up on that one.
Now, we got a couple of callers real quick. Let me get 765, you're on, and 313, you're on.
Hello,
gentlemen. 313.
313.
Okay,
yes.
Hi.
Hello.
765.
Hey, guys, it's
Sean. Hey. How you doing,
mister? Hey, man, pretty tired from the last week of vacation, just hitting the road. We did over 1,500 miles round trip, trying to hit as many plants. As a kid, so it was a long week, but it was a good week. So,
well, good,
right?
Good.
But it was productive, right?
Oh yeah, it was really no matter where we went, like you know, I mean, Kentucky Truck Plant, Bowling Green Assembly, went down to Spring Hill, Tennessee. We went to Sharonville, Ohio, the transmission plant there, and then we met with some of the nurses. In Toledo, it was really it's amazing to me. No matter who we talk to, whether it's IPS, I mean, you know, top higher ed, big three, it doesn't matter. You know, AgIP, everybody says it's the same theme everywhere. I mean, the members are just, you know, no one has any trust with the top leadership, and they don't feel like everybody just feels like, you know, there's a huge disconnect, you know, between the leadership and the workers. And it's so, you know, it's sad too. I mean, we were, you know, at two of the places we were asked to leave by security. And one of them actually at Bowling Green, we were actually, there was a retiree meeting at their union hall. So we went, you know, waited in the parking lot till it ended. And we were just handing flyers to the retirees as they left. And one of the local reps was out there taking pictures of us, and he was on the phone with the region, I guess. And when we went to the plant, actually, the Bowling Green's assembly plant for shift change to give flyers out, the assistant director for the region showed up at one of the gates where a couple of our guys were, and he was in his black Lincoln Navigator, taking pictures. And so it's just, sad. We were asked to leave, but the good thing was we found the tunnel area we stood in, and so we actually were kind of out of sight of the security people. So we ended up hitting a lot of people coming in and out, and spoke to a lot of people. And no matter where we went, the reception at plants has been amazing by the members at the gates. And they're just tired, man. They want change, and they just want to know that the top leadership gives a damn about them, and that's. It's just sad to say that that's where we're at as a union. That but it was to leave at Bowling Green, and then we hit a gate Friday here locally. We hit Mac Assembly Plant, and we were asked to leave by security within 10 minutes of being there. So we went to a different gate, and we made it about an hour until they figured out we were at a different gate. The thing is, to me, they're reaching out to local leadership everywhere. And they're pressuring the hell out of local leaders to hand out these pre-written letters that they've written and put their names on it and smeared a bunch of just flat-out bullshit and lies. And but that's, that to me is what we're running to change. I mean, we're running to get away from bullying local leaders and bullying the members and letting the membership truly, have a say in this and run this. So, that's what we're up against, and that's why we're doing this, and that's why everybody that got in this election, even the candidates that didn't make runoffs or whatever, I mean, everybody got in it for the same reason. We all want change, and then you got to deal with, now this week they've been putting out the one stupid thing about, outside money and, it's something about $500,000. I've spent $500,000 for a flyer, which is a complete lie. I was very open about that in the debate, that we did a mailing to 200,000 people, and it cost around 80 or 90 grand, and it's expensive as hell. I've taken money out of my 401k to help offset costs in my campaign. So have other people that were on our slate. And, yes, we've taken money. We are completely complying with rules. We're not taking money from, organizations and stuff. Most of the money we're getting is from members. For my personal campaign, account, it was predominantly all UAW members, except for a few lifelong friends and family members that believe in me and believe in what I'm doing, so they wanted to donate money. I mean, it's not like I don't owe nobody anything. And so that's, they keep putting this mantra out there that we're, spending all this massive amounts of money, and there's dark money in this, and who do we owe? The only people we owe in this are the members. I want to make that real clear. I don't owe anybody anything. The only people I owe is the membership, and that's something that our top leadership forgets to – well, they never actually understood it, because if they did, they'd be fighting for their jobs. But the only people that have been neglected in all this and for years is the membership. That's why we all ran, and that's the only people that are owed anything through our campaign. So anybody that says anything different is just trying to spread bullshit and lies. And one other thing –
Hey, Sean, this is 313 from the local 600. I'd be glad to see you over here at the truck plant. As far as security, just act like you're stealing catalytic converters, because they haven't been able to catch anybody, and every night we lose a dozen of them.
Yeah, it's a shame. They can sure as hell spot us a mile away, but they can't spot somebody stealing stuff off cars or anything else. So.
Like, they got the cameras working on the line, but the ones in the parking lot don't work. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I was going to say, one other thing that they...
The ones in the parking lot, usually.
Yeah, one other thing I've seen surface the last few days is somebody put it out again today, and they post something, and then they take off commenting so no one can comment on it. But, they put a thing over there about... how I screwed electricians at Belvedere Assembly. So I want to make something real clear on this, because that is a flat out lie. In 2015, the company wanted to eliminate the welder repair classification at Belvedere Assembly and at Warren Truck Plant. And we fought like hell, our skilled trade bargaining committee fought like hell to keep that trade intact. Norwood Jewell, again, a common thing that kept happening, agreed with the company on the, at the higher up level after we, our subcommittee, you know, got where we could get. Norwood Jewell agreed to eliminate that classification. He agreed with the company. So at that point, you know, we pushed the company saying we, you know, we didn't want it. So, but they went ahead after bargaining, they went ahead and moved on combining the two classifications, the welder, repairman, and electricians at Belvedere. And when they went to do it and they combined those overtime lists, the, you know, the trades went through the roof because, you know, it was taking people that had a lot of hours and less hours, and they all got averaged in. There was a big uproar. And so the local leadership had reached out to us, and we sat down with the local leadership and with the with those trades. And so we went back to the company and said, look, you know, the workers didn't want this. We tried to tell you this. And man, even management at the plant knew it was going to be an issue, so they didn't want it. So we got the company to agree to keep them separate, which is what we wanted. We were trying to protect the classification structure. So at that point, we did sign a memorandum. I signed it with the company because it was what the local wanted. It was what we wanted all along. Unfortunately, Norwood Jewell screwed us on it in bargaining, but we got it back. So obviously there's an electrician over there that evidently didn't like the fact that that happened. I mean, but, okay, so one guy wasn't happy out of, several hundred. So you can't, unfortunately, in these jobs, you can't make everybody happy. But we're always trying to protect the integrity of our classifications. So what they're the spin they're putting out there, like we did some underhanded deal to screw people, is a complete, again, it's complete bullshit. That's what we worked with the local leadership and with the members there to get what we wanted all along.
Right. I mean, so you get a few people who are upset about it, but you manage to maintain a classification with a couple of hundred people in there. That'd be, the Weimers, right? Welder, electrician, maintenance, repair, something like that.
Yep.
You know, and they play a vital part. And anybody does a sub-assembly knows if you deal with a lot of robots, you do a lot of welding tips.
Yeah.
To take an electrician away from the line to come out and change welding tips and to do maintenance on welding machines and welders, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
But that's just a thought.
But it's just a spin, like I said. And that's the thing. That's all these people have. Curry and them can't identify with the membership. That's why instead of, you know, going to plant gates, which, it's funny he says, you know, I sit behind the desk, but here's what they do. They make phone calls to local leaders, and they want local leaders to do their bidding for them. They want local leaders out there campaigning for them because, you know, they're too damn lazy to get off their ass and do it themselves. So, they can say what they want. All this stuff they're doing is just fear-mongering because they want people to be afraid of change, you know, and that's all they're trying to do. But the membership's not buying it, and it's pretty evident by visiting plant gates and everything else. You know, the membership's fed up. So, you know, I feel real good about and that's the thing. When I read the negativity from them, from the Curry Slate, you know, it pisses me off, and I want to jump on there and comment. I don't a lot. I've tried to restrain myself from just interjecting in the stupidity. But the thing that really lifts me up is, you know, when we hit these plant gates and talk to members, I mean, because they get it, and the membership's smarter than that. I mean, that's the thing. These guys think they're smarter than everybody, and, you know, and that's what this is how they've operated forever. It's, you know, pressure local leaders, threaten them with product, threaten them with whatever with staff jobs or whatever you can do, and then, you know, they'll hope they jump in line and do your work for you. And so, but that stuff's about, it's coming to an end, hopefully, so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we can hope for. You know,
Scott,
you're not.
Scott,
yeah. Yeah.
If you're not in the conversation, please mute your phone, please, so we can all hear the conversation. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. So, you know, we've seen the BS being spread around about you, Sean, and then I see they're attacking LaShawn now, too.
This is just. Yeah.
It's sad. I mean, they're desperate. But to act in such a way, don't they realize that really looks poor on them? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry you guys are going through this.
I just think they're desperate, and I think, you know, their message doesn't resonate with the members. I mean, think about it. They didn't even want anybody to have the right to vote. I mean, now they're out there. Now, ironically, you know, we had low turnout in the first thing, and now they're out there. They didn't want anybody to have the right to vote to begin with. Now they want everybody to vote, you know. So it's, you know, they can't figure out what their own message is. That's the problem, you know, and the membership's smarter than that. So, you know, it's
what's really sad, Sean, and this is Jimmy, and I want to thank you and congratulate you prematurely on your win, because I really think you're going to wax his ass anyway. But even with this shit with Bresler saying his resignation letter, I voted for you and then I voted for Chuck because I believe that letter. I wish I'd have left that ballot blank and let them two bastards decide it amongst themselves, because I think Chucky's playing a game right now with Curry trying to slide a backdoor game, one last more shit game. That's my opinion. I'm sorry, Sean. Good luck. Congratulations.
No, I agree. This is part of the plan, because you think about it. Their focus right now is on getting Curry elected, because if Curry loses, the majority of the vote on the executive board falls to, you know, the members instead of Curry's slate. And and, you know, they want to keep that power. So Bresler, you know, I'll just be upfront with you. Bresler's a horrible rep. He doesn't have a snowball chance in hell of beating Chuck. And, you know, but it's that's what I know. That's what they did. They just and you know what? I think Bresler did it also to save face, because he knows he's going to lose miserably. So now he can say he withdrew. That way, when he gets his butt waxed, he can, you know, he can say, well, I withdrew, even though he was going to get spanked anyway. But, you know, so
I didn't vote for you.
So it's time for change. And like I said, the membership's smarter than all that. They know better. It's shameful. Like the stuff they put out about LaShawn, my God, man. I mean, these people have no shame. And meanwhile,
I don't even know if you can. I saw that. Well, they said something about a $3,000 chair or some ridiculous thing. They're talking about filing charges.
That she's going to be brought up on charges and stuff and all this other crap. And she's, you know, and the thing is, to me, you know, they can claim all this stuff they want. I mean, Curry can't run from facts. And if you notice in that debate, he never disputed when I brought up, when he kept saying, you know, he was in the region and, you know, he wasn't part of this and he's cleaned up the corruption. Well, the thing is, he cannot run from the fact that when he was regional director, he voted to build Dennis Williams a new house at Black Lake. He was part of that. He agreed to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
he did.
He signed a contract. You know, he went to Florida under the guise of opening bargaining for a local on the same day of the national championship football game in 2017 that Alabama was playing in, which was his alma mater. And on that same day, he was supposed to open bargaining. He agreed to a contract with a marketing agency, and he got four tickets to the national championship football game. And that was in 2017. And the irony here is in 2021, when he decided to run for president when Rory was retiring, only then did he thought, okay, wait a minute, this might look bad. So he paid the money back made the monitor aware of what he did with the tickets. But, you know, that is a black and white violation of our ethics policy and our Constitution. It says you cannot take it with any vendor or anyone we do business with. You can't accept anything in any form from that vendor. And I mean, it's black and white language. And
excuse me.
You know, to sit there and claim that, you know, you've cleaned it up, it's pathetic. And that was when he was regional director. Then when he became president, I mean, look at what he did. I mean, he's, you know, plants are closing, we're losing jobs, and he's given staff pensions and $20,000 retirement bonuses. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, we're losing the battle on EV, we're losing jobs, and his priority was taking care of, you know, staff and stuff. It's just, it's crazy. They can't hide from that.
Excuse me, Sean.
Yep.
This is Adrian.
Adrian, how are you
there's
doing?
There's a couple of things here that I would like to say, and then you all can address them. And there's so much that just was said. The PRB is the ones that said that he was okay with the tickets. We need to get rid of them because our Constitution says you cannot accept anything from vendors. And let's talk about that, too. 2017 is when he accepted it. In May of 2021 is when he paid it back. That's very significant because he was being appointed by Rory Gamble, who was president at the time, to take his place. That's passing the baton to the second in charge. That's the way the administrative caucus decided to do it over the years. He was told to clean that up. He didn't do that on his own. He was told, this is going to come up. I mean, we're not stupid. We are thinkers, and this is what they forget, that we are thinkers. The other thing, this thing about LaShawn, this letter that's out there that I will give no credence to because it has no date, no time, no signature on it. They don't produce any receipt with a date, a dated receipt at that. All of this, that's I won't give credence to it. I will not give credence to Tim Bressler's letter that was written to the brothers and sisters. Why? It should not have been written to the brothers and sisters. It's that way. It is not on a letterhead. He is at Solidarity. It should have been on a letterhead. It should not have been just a normal word or word processing app typed out and somebody put his name at the bottom. Same thing with Zapp. If these people, and if you know of, have seen, I have seen no official paperwork saying that these people have actually retired. I have seen no letters come out from Ray Curry saying that his whomever is retiring off his team as of X day. Remember now, what's his name? Dedus, whatever his name is, and Estrada. They put out letters on official letterhead that gave you definite dates as to when their retirement was going to be. That is the way it's supposed to be. And it's CC'd. Now, all of this crap needs to stop. Even some of your supporters, they need to stop telling lies. There's some out there that tell lies. Stop lying. If you're not going to be factual, you're not going to be honest, you're not going to tell the truth, you're not going to have integrity, that goes against you. So they need to stop their crap also. Okay? I'm for you. I won't endorse you, but I support you because you are there for reform. Thank you so much, and I'll get off now. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for your comments.
We got another phone call. Let me get 810 on real quick. Oh, where you go? 810, I think you're coming up. Here you go.
Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, everybody.
Hello, girl.
I'm just here in case I want to comment.
Okay, you got it. All right. All right. And we got a lot of callers in the switchboard now. If you'd like to join, push 1 on your keypad, and I'll get you on. But yeah, until you're called on, or please mute your phone. I appreciate that. Yeah, okay. Yesterday, I've been talking to a lot of people at 598, my local. I'm retired, and I know there was some Curry people, and they said they voted, they're going to vote for you because you had the guts enough to stand up and answer questions from people on this show and other places. And they liked how you did in the debate, and so you changed their mind. So congratulations on that. So
well, good to hear, and appreciate you guys having this forum. Also, it's and that's I'm trying to do the best I can to get to as many people as I can. It's just, man, it's,
oh,
it's been a long time.
It's impossible to do that, but you're doing the best you can do. I mean, good gosh, from Fort Wayne, we had people from Fort Wayne. I got a lot of emails in Arlington, Texas. They're all for you, the ones that listen to our show. And
John, you know what a lot of these members off is listening to Sean. They won't even let him get to the membership to even present himself as a candidate. Where's the equality here, Ray Curry?
There you go. Yeah. Right, Jimmy. That is right. And of course, Curry has been invited to be on this show. I guess he didn't think he'd needed to be on this show. And that's okay.
He's busy using the membership's money flying around the country on our dime to campaign.
Exactly.
In person. So,
yeah, and also, like you said, all of a sudden, General Motors, and don't get me started, but General Motors, they don't want change. People that work at the Flint truck plant that go out of their way to keep the current administration, the shop chairman and the president of our local in office, because they got a good working relationship, and they'll keep people from campaigning against them. So that tells me a lot when they're kicking you off the premises, that General Motors, they don't want nothing to do with you.
Yeah, I'll guarantee you none of the big three want anything to do with me or any other companies for that matter. And I mean, they're used to company unionism. They're used to top leaders that go in the back room with them and
get
bread with them or mix with them, whatever they do, and that's got to stop. So,
hey, Sean, do you think you'll make it down to the Dearborn truck plant?
I'm not sure yet. We're trying to set up some other visits this week. My campaign manager's been like working with different people. I was going to try to run down there Friday afternoon, but it ended up not working out. And then we hadn't been to like Mac Assembly yet, so we tried that, and then we ended up getting thrown out of there after about an hour. So I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I think your best bet would be just to go in between shift changes. And like I said, security, unless the union, because the union office is right by the front door. So if the union office sees you, then security will probably intervene, and then Dearborn police will come.
And just so people understand too, like we don't tell people we're coming, and the main reason we don't is because we don't want people to get wind of it to where security knows and they're waiting on us. And so that's why.
Oh, definitely.
We don't really announce we're going somewhere. We just go, we hope we get through it without getting thrown off. But.
Yeah, Terry. I
know
think
my local union hall listens to the show. So,
yeah.
John? You guys are getting to the end anyway. This is probably this weekend. I mean, the majority of the ballots are out.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the campaigning is pretty much over. They timed out their product announcements to try to leverage some support. I don't know if that helped them much. Obviously, as part of the plan. But the interesting thing about that is. Just like the one in Flint, where Curry attended, they branched off and tried to hit more than one location at a time. But the directors from the companies, the ones that placed the product in the facilities, were not present. If it was a real announcement, product announcement, the directors there, if you could be Mary Bear is going to be there, Bill Ford is going to be there. This is something they cooked up at the local level with the local administrations about product that they already knew about so they can – make everybody feel good that they did something for them. That way you'll go ahead and vote them back in.
Yeah. Yep.
John?
Yeah.
This is Paul. I wanted to make a comment about these elections. Many of us union rabble-rousers have been facing the same problem for years when we run in local elections. Administration can't beat you based on the issues, so they work with management to hinder your campaign, try to kick you off the property, intimidate you. I'm hoping one of the first things you do when you're elected president is you make it crystal clear to these corporate heads that you're not going to tolerate management favoritism toward candidates in our elections. It's very difficult to elect the best candidates when management is propping up the administration and helping them in any way they can.
Yeah, there's, you know, and even some of the games they play locally, like with management. I mean, I actually, the first time I ran for committeeman at my plant, I got threatened by an area manager, and it was all bullshit. But I mean, you know, they threatened to suspend me and all, you know, and it was all, they knew I was running, and naturally they didn't want me in there. And so there's got to be, you know, and that was, I threatened them then saying, look, you're interfering. You know, I'm running for office. You're interfering with basically with the local union election, with union politics. So, you know, we've got to do a better job of protecting that right for our members to,
right,
to be able to run, to take part in these elections and to have their, you know, everybody deserves their equal share in this union. Everybody deserves their equal share to be able to run for office if they want. It's, you know, I never ever got offended by somebody running against me for committeeman or shop chair or anything. I mean, it's their right. And I mean, you know, I like I tell people, I wasn't for everybody. I mean, I mean, there's people that like somebody else better. So, I mean, like I would tell them, I mean, some people, we're humans. We don't agree on everything. So, you know,
right,
we have to have a diversity in candidates, and we have to have that ability so that people can vote for the person they want to vote for, you know. So, we got to do a better
job. Right.
There's a lot of things we got to improve on in this union with leadership and with training, with educating our members, with educating our local leaders. And unfortunately, our system for our entire lifetimes has been, you know, the top of the union barks orders and everybody else is supposed to jump in line. That's all people have seen and it's all they know, unfortunately, and that's what we got to change. It's
right.
Got, you know, so.
Well, you know, it's actually, since you mentioned it, Paul, it's actually a violation of the National Labor Relations Act for a company. Now, they're allowed to say something good about somebody. They're allowed to say that they like them locally. They could say something nice about them, but they're not allowed to make an endorsement, and they're not allowed to tear one down, and definitely not allowed to make it sound like a product offering is due to or would not have happened without a specific candidate being supported, because they are interfering with the decisions of the membership as to who the candidate will be. It's almost a
right.
They call it quid pro quo. It's against the law.
Right. Well, our top administration has not been concerned about enforcing that provision in the law, because all they want to do is get candidates elected that are favorable to their position.
Yep.
That's right.
Sean, I noticed that Gibby was pretty welcoming. What was that all about?
Oh, yeah. No, he's really, honestly, Gibby reached out to me actually even before we started running and just said he was going to run. I never knew him until then. And so we've actually talked throughout the campaign, like, you know, he's had issues with his plan or whatever, and he would call and say, hey, you know, I got this going on. And, you know, nothing talking politics, but just talking about just issues and crap we're seeing. And, but, you know, I reached out to him and Brian both, you know, as soon as the election was over, and, you know, just told him, I respected them for running and, you know, respect, you know, their positions. And, you know, I was hoping that they would, you know, could support, you know, my campaign. And, but I actually had reached out to him and just asked, you know, if he, had an issue, if we came by his plant and, you know, handed out flyers. And, he was more than happy, and that's what he said. He said, "Hell, I'll meet you out the gate," you know. And so, you know, it was a really good experience at that gate. Also, we went there Friday morning, and
I respect that a lot.
Yeah, so it was. He's been. You know, they have issues too. They have their issues with some of the top leaders. I'm not going to air his issues, but that's for him to do. But
right.
You know, we all do. So we all have our different reasons. We all have our experiences we've seen, and that's really, you know, it's why Brian ran. It's why he ran. It's why I ran. It's why Lehman ran. I mean, I think there would have been more people run. It's just, you know, we're so used to this culture of it's a tough choice because you know what's coming when you take on this. This is an establishment that's been in power for, you know, 70, 80 years. And, you know, so everybody that did this, you know, took a lot of courage for these guys, for all of them. So that's why I tell people,
absolutely.
Like, you know, don't bash Brian, don't bash these people. They put their name out there, and that's a hard thing to do.
That's right. Can you speak on the culture? I see that Mike Booth had announced a new AA, Nicole Current. I'm just curious if you want to speak on her, because I don't know anything about her, but I've heard her name before.
Well, she said she was going to resign if Terry didn't win. So
yeah, I'm going to remain quiet about that for now.
He had a long post on Facebook in the beginning of this election that said if Curry did not get reelected, she was resigning.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm waiting for that.
Well, I'll just
say
this. I hope she holds to it. Yeah, I hope she holds to it.
Me too.
So Mike didn't get to choose his own AA? Maybe we'll wait till after this election, I guess. I'm just curious. I just seen that, you know, when he made it, first off, Mike had a nice tan he put on. I was going to give him a hard time. Hey, you're looking good there, you know. You know, but I don't want to think of some gay stuff. But.
Experience matters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that announcement. I was.
So what happens if he doesn't hold true to his word? He'll retire?
Who? It's a girl, Nicole.
It's a girl.
Okay.
A woman, I should say. A woman.
Where'd she come from? Hey, you don't have to give opinions. I'm just curious.
He was already appointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times you'll see her name at the bottom of some of the letters. She'll be CC'd.
I think she was an assistant to somebody, and now she's like she's like the main.
Yeah, that wasn't even a loaded question. I just don't know who she is.
No, I think she was an assistant to Brian Zapp or Zape when he was there and did us and them. She's definitely very pro Curry Slate.
She's very indomitable.
So when you got pulled up to an AA, was that by the VP? Did they get to select? I'm just curious what the process is for that.
So, it's up to the vice presidents and, you know, or it depends on what it is, like if you're in a region where you are. But when I got promoted to AA was when Terry Dittus was, he had taken over our department for like that 6 months that he was over our department when they got rid of Norwood. And so when he came in, we were still having some issues with the training center and this is one thing I say, I mean, I'm proud of, but I'm ashamed of at the same time. I'm proud that I was the only assistant director and above in the crisis department that didn't have to go before the Department of Justice, before the grand jury, the federal grand jury. But sadly, it's sad to say that also. But I believe, you know, with what was going on at the time that, you know, Terry put me over the training center, you know, because we were at that point, we were starting to try to move forward and clean, you know, just clean up the mess and get policies. Well, you know, we were already in process trying to get policies put in place, but to try to get, you know, everything cleaned back up and squared away. So, and it's been, we've been doing that since. I mean, it's been at meeting with, I know, you know, like Ray likes to say, I sit behind a desk, but, you know, I've spent countless hours dealing with teams of attorneys from between the government, between the UAW, between the NTC, corporate attorneys, you know, and we're basically, you know, shutting down the training centers and reorganizing them as Taft-Hartley Trust. I mean, there's a whole process of this. We're trying to get, you know, documents agreed to, and the thing that people should understand in all this is, you know, there were even like Curry likes to talk about that he's put new policies in place and, you know, he's done all this stuff for the solidarity. We've always had policies in place. Unfortunately, people violated them, and it was the top people. So, you know, it's not like we didn't have policies. It's like they came out with this they came out with an ethics, a new ethics thing saying, you know, you can't take anything of any value, tickets or anything. In the last 6 months, they came out with this, and it's like, well, first off, that was already in our Constitution under our ethics policy. It wasn't
right.
I mean, it wasn't like that was something new. And that's what they
right.
tried to say, like with Curry and his ticket scandal. They tried to claim that there wasn't a policy in place. And it's like, people, we have a Constitution. What the hell is it there for? I mean.
So why'd you come forward with it then if it was an issue?
So, yeah, it's well, and, you know, it's like I tell people, if you didn't do anything wrong, why did you pay back the tickets? I mean,
right.
why would you have thought you needed to pay it back?
Yep.
You know, so the,
what
the
I don't understand
was,
is our monitor. Our monitor, and I keep saying this, and I even wrote it to him. He's a seasoned lawyer. You mean to tell me that a seasoned lawyer couldn't read that Constitution and see that in there? A seasoned lawyer couldn't see that there was no language speaking about retirees not being able to run for international, because there has never been a run for international before, so it was no language on it. I'm just trying to understand even our monitor.
If there wasn't a policy in place, Adrian, there's a law against it. It says any elected official is not allowed to accept illicit gifts. It's in the law.
Well,
I know that, but it's in our Constitution.
This is interesting, but this is straight. This is the Constitution in the Ethics Policy Section 4. No officer or representative shall accept kickbacks, under-the-table payments, valuable gifts, lavish entertainment, or any personal payment of any kind, from a business or professional enterprise with which the union does business. Now, where's the gray area in that?
There is none. There is no gray area. They even came to the floor. We used to have vendors that brought us baseball caps, you know, other little trinkets.
Yeah.
The vendors had to stop giving those things to us on the floor.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, here's the difference with that to me. You guys on the floor, I mean, the worker on the floor, you're not signing a contract with that vendor. So, you know, I don't, like, if they gave you a pen or something, you know, to me, big deal. But this is the difference. Ray Curry signed a contract that day with this vendor, and then he got four tickets to a championship football game that night. To me, is the difference. I mean, the average person on the floor, you're going to work every day, and so a vendor came in and they do business and they're handing you a whatever, a shirt or a hat or I don't know, whatever. Right or wrong, you know, you didn't sign a contract with that vendor. I mean, Ray Curry did. And that's, to me, is where it's – there's no gray area there. I mean
– John, this is Paul again. Doesn't the law itself state that a union rep is only entitled to their regular pay, no special privileges or anything of that nature?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, that's where a lot of this, you know, the stuff that went on, you know, with the training centers and with, you know, the – different leaders, you know, Dennis and Gary Jones and all of them. I mean, because they were, you know, they were, you know, benefiting themselves. And it's pretty apparent, I mean, by, you know, just like I say, like Norwood, you know, agreeing behind our back on that one issue with the to screw the trade that they eliminated. I mean, pretty obvious now why they were doing those things. I mean, you know, it was to, you know, it's flat out collusion. I mean, the bottom line, I mean, they're getting money, they're getting things of value. And, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's,
yeah. And the membership gets nothing.
Yeah. The membership loses. We keep losing jobs. We keep losing plants. You know, joint ventures are getting it. I mean, I'll tell you, on this road trip, when we drove from Louisville to Bowling Green, we drove by on Interstate 65, one of the massive blue oval battery plants they're building right now. They had the steel going up, and it pissed me off even driving by it, because right now we have none of that. You know, I went and talked to those workers in Sharonville, Ohio, at that transmission plant. You know, and I come from a transmission, a plant, you know, provides products for transmissions. It, you know, if they go that route, I mean, our workers are going to have a place to fall. And the way it is right now, we have no rights to anything with those plants. And these are massive, massive facilities. I mean, there's $11 billion in investment in Ford and Tennessee alone, just from Ford for EV, and none of it is ours.
Well, corporate management has known that, at least so far, our top leadership won't resist anything the way they want to do. You know, General Motors, we've been outsourced into oblivion.
Yep. Well, and you know, all these joint initiatives, this working together philosophy, you know. I mean, like I've told people, I've been on a lot of teams in my life. I played basketball, I played baseball, you know, I played a lot of sports growing up, and any team I've been a part of, we all have the same objective, and we're not, you know, in basketball, I didn't get the ball and go shoot on the other team's basket. I mean, and that's the unfortunate part of where these joint partnerships have went. It's all one-sided. I mean, this is how it works. I mean, the company says they want something, we say we don't, and then the company says they want something, and our top leaders go ahead and agree with it eventually, and you know, it comes to us one way or another. I mean, that's not joint. You know, a joint partnership is, you know, we have objectives, somebody, your partner has objectives, okay, well, you know, I mean, is there any common ground somewhere, so be it, but it's not a one-sided affair. These joint things are, they're completely one-sided. And like when Curry made the comment during the debate that I didn't have anything to do with those, with the language in bargaining for joint programs, and that's why I said, you're damn right I didn't, because that shitty language that they put in there never would have happened if I'd had something to do with it, because they gave the company complete control of where the money's spent, how it's spent, and they can approve, they can accept, modify, or reject anything we put forward, all at the sole discretion of the company. That's what the language says. I mean, that's not joint.
No. Well, unfortunately, the management have the same shared vision for several years, and I think it was 2007, Dick Shoemaker endorsed lean production, and he was endorsing the elimination of you know, tens of thousands of jobs in health.
Yeah, you can take a lot of these cooperative programs or whatever the hell they want to call them, whether it's communication workers or anywhere in the 80s and 90s and forward, and the end result of all these type of programs has been loss of jobs. So, you know, and that's what we have to look at. You know, we look at what works for our members, and, you know, we have to abandon. Yeah.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Mr. Fain, have you heard that some of these battery plants, let's just say like the one that's going in Tennessee for Ford, have you heard that it's going to be more than just a battery plant?
I don't know specifics because, I mean, I really have no information on them. I mean, there's a lot more aspects than just batteries. I've heard even the one in Indiana, I've heard, now I don't know it for a fact, but I was told by some people down there that I know that they're already looking at putting a supplier park next to it. And that's the struggle with this, because our leadership didn't act when the first joint venture was announced and didn't take action to get it under our master agreements and get our members' rights to this work. If we don't lock that down, if these joint ventures are now going to have supplier parks and they're going to be in charge of, who do you think's going to, whose jobs are those going to be? It sure as hell isn't going to be UAW jobs. It's not going to be ours. It's going to be another way to pay less money, even less than what the battery plant will pay. And you know, it's just a continual spiral downward. And we've got to lock this stuff up.
I agree, because I've talked to several suppliers that have nothing to do with batteries that said their companies are bidding on work down there. And this would be part of a vehicle bill, not a battery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's concerning.
My son works down there, Carrie, and I'll find out tomorrow exactly what's going on. He started there working side by side with OSHA, so I'll find out. He said the plant is huge. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you one other part of this, like the frames for the batteries. So just the frame that holds the batteries, like they're actually will end up being the frame for the vehicle. So there's a lot that changes with you know, battery cars versus, you know, our traditional, combustible engine vehicles, because, if these plants start building the frames for the batteries, I mean, the wheels and stuff bolt to the frames. I mean, it's a whole different concept. So, you know, and so all those things are a part of the process. And that's, like I said, I mean, we've got to ensure we lock this stuff down. I mean, and right now we are, contrary to what Curry and say, we're way the hell behind. I mean,
so you're saying the frame is the chassis? The chassis is the vehicle. The box with the batteries, the cells actually fit in, is the chassis.
So from what I've seen on one of the layouts, it was actually the frame that holds the batteries was actually like the chassis for the vehicle.
Wow, that's half the vehicle.
Yeah. So it's very different. So that's one I saw. Now I don't know if that's the same. I don't want to speak, you know, like I know everything, because I don't. But that's I did see a plan for that. That one of the engineers from one of the locations actually sent an email to a local leader that's, you know, supporting me at one of the plants, and so he in turn forwarded that to me. So that was kind of what, you know, show me a little bit of what's going on.
Wow.
But it's a big deal, and if we don't get behind this and we don't get in front of this, we're going to be in big trouble. I mean, and that's and it's like I said, it's really disappointing to hear Ray Curry double down on his stupid comment that we can't go after work when it's just a field. We've done it, and we've taken action and done that before, and it secured work for us. I mean, we can't afford not to take action.
I think you had him in a corner when you were talking about that, because Greenhouse cut you off. He didn't want you to finish talking about it, I guess.
Well, and that's the hard part of the debate was, you know, you get a minute or 30 seconds to respond to a comment, and it's hard to get a detailed comment in 30 seconds, you know, so.
What I've seen in Ray, because you don't normally see the president, that's not a guy you talk to on a regular basis. You see pictures of him in the paper, you know, but he doesn't normally speak to the membership like that. I've seen in that man, it was directed at you because you're, you know, on the stage, but I saw raw aggression. And the way I took it was towards the membership, because they had the audacity to hold him to account. And he was firing at you because obviously you're on a debate with him, but that's not what I saw.
Yep.
He's angry at the membership.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, a lot of people that spoke to me after the debate from all over, you know, it was the same terms kept coming up. They looked at it as, you know, arrogance and pompous and smug. And that is just, unfortunately, that is the, you know, it's sort of a pattern with a lot of our top leaders over the last several years. I mean, they never had to be held accountable to anybody. And even right to work laws and stuff. I mean, I detest right to work laws, but I'll tell people the first day when I was put on staff, I never forget this as long as I live. I walked into Solidarity House, and Tim Bressler, who was General Holyfield's top AA at the time, came up to me and he said, "You know what the best thing about these jobs is?" And I said, "No, what's that?" And he said that you don't have to run for re-election every 3 years. And I kind of laughed. I said, "Well, I never really minded running for your election. If you take care of business, you know, you don't have to worry about that." But that stuck with me forever, because I just thought, you know, that is what you think is the best thing about this job is. It's no wonder how we're in the position we're in. And, you know, and he's went from General's top AA to, you know, Ray Curry's chief of staff for the last 6 years. So it's just this arrogance they have. It's a shame, you know. At the end of the day, anyone that's ever worked with me in our buildings and stuff that, you know, reports to me, I've always told them, guys, at the end of the day, look, don't let titles go. Titles don't mean shit to me. We're all factory workers, you know, or we come from offices or whatever sector we come from. But at the end of the day, that's what we are. That's who I am. I don't. That's why I open that debate with saying I don't forget where I come from. That's who I am. And I've been told 100 times by people above me, you know, you're not a committeeman no more. Well, you know what? No, the hell I'm not. I mean, you're never going to take that out of me. I spent five terms doing that stuff. I mean, I don't forget those things. I don't forget busting my ass, you know, working for our people and then, you know, getting shut down by people above us. I mean, that's who we are. And we've got to, unfortunately, a lot of our leadership has forgotten that, you know, that. So it's just that arrogance. And and I think it came out, you know, pretty heavy with Curry.
That's a good.
Hey, Sean, this is George. I got two questions.
Yeah.
First one on the debate. Do you think Ray Curry had the questions before the debate?
I don't know. And honestly, I don't even care. I mean, really, at the end of the day, I just think hopefully people just see the difference. I mean, if you noticed one theme there, all Ray Curry talked about in his arrogance and his experience was I. You know, I'm not an I person. Anyone that's ever bargained before, anyone that's ever been involved in these jobs aren't a one-person show. It takes a team of people. It takes, you know, a lot of people pulling in the same direction to get things done. So, you know, I'm a we person. And, you know, so that's one big difference between him and I. And then the other part is, I mean, you know, our mantra from day one has been, this is about the membership. And, you know, Ray Curry and him don't even want the membership to have a say in this. So, you know, there to me, there's two pictures. There's two very stark contrasts between he and I. You know, we're in this together, and this is about the membership on our end and on his end. It's I did this, I did that, and I don't want the membership to have a say. So, I mean, and I hope people just see through that, you know.
Okay, my second question, then I'll get off. If Bessler, I heard he's going to retire. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've heard, I mean, people saying that, but I haven't heard. I mean, I just heard the gossip about it, so I don't know. I'm assuming he would if things don't work out in Curry's papers.
Say he does got papers in to retire, and this might be a dumb question because maybe it isn't. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but if he does get elected and retires, what do they do with his seat?
If he got elected and retired, then it would. I believe the Constitution spells out that the IEB would appoint. I believe that's the way it's spelled out. I don't want to give you a direct answer on that because honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know what's other than the direct elections that we have now. I don't think we hold special elections or anything. I think it's just a matter of between elections that. Just like at a local, I mean, well, actually at a local, we hold elections. So,
well, what I was getting at is I hope, you know, maybe if he did win it, if we let him win it and he retires, then we can have another election and get somebody in there we want, get more people running.
Yeah, I don't believe he's going to win. I don't think he has a prayer of winning. I think that's why he dropped out on top of the ploy to get Curry back in, but he knew the writing's on the wall there. I mean, I'll just be up front with you. Chrysler won't even support Tim Bressler. The Chrysler workers won't. So, I mean, that's where he comes out. Well, so,
well, I hope I get my ballot. I called Friday, requested another one. I got one the first time. I haven't got one yet, but
okay.
Definitely got my support. I'm out of here.
No, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
There you go. Go nowhere, George.
No, I'm still listening.
Okay.
Everybody had shown up with a bunch of questions the last few weeks. Now he's just like part of us. He's like one of the show, I guess.
No, I'm still going to listen. I just don't want to take up everybody's time. I know everybody's got questions.
Oh, go ahead, man. You got something you want to ask? Keep it up. Just keep conversation going, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. There's so much of it I can't even. The thing about LeSean, somebody already hit it. When I read that, I'm like, you know, I made a comment about that. I'm like, you know, this is exactly why the Members United, the ones that got the one overwhelming victories to be able to take the seats that they got. This is why they need the leader that walked with him, that hit the gates, the ones that campaigned with him, because they're not in office for, what, 3 weeks? The 4 weeks of a month. It's been a month now, right, since they've taken office, and you've got these wild accusations, claims that there's an investigation going on. This is exactly what I'm expecting once the selection's all over. You know, they didn't want Jerry Tucker there. They denied him his term, eventually ended up eliminating his region to make sure he couldn't sit. And now you've got people from the outside, which has not happened before, and they weren't wanted by the caucus, and they're going to do everything they can and try to bring up false charges, anything they can to remove them. And if the people believe that much in LeSean and Mike Booth and Margaret Mock and all the Brandon Masilla and everybody who is run for office, then they need to give them the tools to be able to perform for them, so when they go into bargaining, they have a leader that's working with them instead of butting heads with them. You know, it's for the betterment of everybody. You know, I mean, as it is right now, it's nothing but obstinance from the outgoing administration. And, you know, if you want to protect the people that are trying to protect you, the best way they can do that is to give them the leader that they campaigned with.
Yeah, we're gonna do everything we can. I mean, bottom line, no matter, you know, I mean, you know, if I'm elected, there's still people from, you know, the administration caucus that are on the IAB. I mean, the bottom line at the end of this is that whoever's elected, I mean, the membership's been very clear. They're fed up and they want change. So, you know, my opinion, I mean, we're, you know, the top leadership's either going to get on board and we're going to move forward with taking care of the members, or there's going to be hell to pay. I mean, that's just how I view it. If people want to, you know, if right. people that went out, you know, if they want to play games and, you know, do stupid stuff and, you know, cause drama and, you know, I don't know, whatever. I mean,
that, well, that's trustees, up to the, the trustees that they excluded from the elections process are going to hold seats for three terms, 12 years. I mean, that's another thing that should be addressed. You know, I mean, they started off this elections process. They're already holding half the seats. And controlling the voting power. So that's why you guys have to get every seat just to be able to have control of the vote. Otherwise,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that should be addressed. This should be on a 4-year term just like the rest of the IAB.
Well, that should never happen. I was so angry when I realized that we were convention for the trustees. It should have been on the ballot like everything else.
Of course. But they did that so they could keep the power, even though they knew they were going to be facing an election. Well, we already got half the seats. You know.
Well, not to mention, trustees oversee everything. And for them to basically appoint who they were going to be is just undermining the membership. Period.
Right. Well, hopefully if there's either a special convention or whenever the constitutional amendments excluding the retirees from being eligible to run, hopefully that's something else that's addressed. It should be a 4-year term. And, you know, that way and they should be part of the elections. Even if they're on a 12-year term like they are now, they should still have to be elected by the people. You're going to be stuck with these people. Assuming that you get elected, and I'm hoping you do, you're going to have these people that were members of the outgoing caucus for the next three terms. That's significant.
And we're running on reform, and you know, the thing is, I mean, we have conventions the thing is that, and that's the one thing I really truly, you know, that excites me about being president is to truly hold conventions where the membership runs the convention, not the president and regional directors and everybody, you know, going out to locals before the convention ever happens and getting them to pledge their loyalty to the caucus. And you know, that's not democracy. I mean, you know, I never forget this as long as I live at that convention last summer when somebody said this isn't democracy and Terry Dittus like screamed, "This is democracy!" And it was just like, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, it was shameful. And so I really look forward to, you know, because issues like this can be brought, you know, to the convention and we can change terms. We can do those things. We can, you know, the membership has the power. Well, the membership will have the power to do those things. And that's what I truly look forward to is actually having member-led, delegate-led conventions where, you know, there's not a bunch of arm twisting. You know, think about you know, the strike pay. I mean, when the delegates weren't bothered, when it just came on the floor and someone, you know, pulled that resolution out to increase the strike pay to $500, it passed.
Right.
And, you know, you saw what happened when, you know, Curry and him couldn't take the fact that it wasn't them that did it, so they had to go back and show everybody, no, we have the power, and, you know, and then he took it away.
Right.
And all that did was hurt our members.
They were defiance of the members.
But that to me was a perfect example of if we have leadership that lets the delegates and the membership run the convention, we'll get things like that to happen because, you know, the membership will make a decision and that will be final. There's not going
right.
to be some.
Well, and you know what? If you think about it, Sean, even the $500, okay, so you're talking about a flat rate. You know, just like with the pandemic unemployment assistance, you know,
yeah.
some of the amalgamated don't make $500 a week. So that would actually be a pay increase for them. So it's probably not the smartest way. You know, maybe a percentage like when you go on medical, like 85% of your base wage would be, you know, it'd be more difficult to track and to pay it out. But that would be, it's not, but I don't think it was about the dollar amount. It was the fact that the delegates affirmed it and they turn around and reversed it. It was defiance to the membership is what got everybody upset, I think.
Well,
so.
But the thing to me is, like, I want a, honestly, I don't care if somebody makes $10 an hour. I want them to get $500 a week strike pay because if we're going to engage the membership at every level in every sector, I don't care what sector they come from. I don't care if they make rock bottom wages. If we're going to strike a contract, a company or a contractor or a company or anybody, a vendor, I want us to have, I want our members to be able to sustain a strike. And if they make
right.
more than they make in their regular week, you know what, then good for them because it's going to help them sustain that strike. I worried about
here, here.
Wow.
Because, you know,
here, here.
They spent 8 months out there and, you know, and I see they, I saw a note that they ratified and you know, but I know if they would have had $500 strike, that may have been the difference in them saying no again, but you know, it
right.
it's tough. And, you know, we all know it. I mean, I've lived paycheck to paycheck and I was a single dad raising two daughters by myself and I don't forget
right.
those things. And that's what I say about, you know, We've got to give our members every tool we can. We've got to have every tool in our war chest. If we're going to take companies on, whether it's IPS, whether it's, you know, nurses, whether it's, you know, aerospace, whatever, we've got to have every bit of power we can have. And so these companies know. I mean, if they know workers are going to go on strike and make more than they pay them, then they know them workers ain't going to have a problem staying out.
Right.
So that
you're
like,
here.
Those are
Since you brought CNH up, you know, I mean, okay, so they went on a strike. They got their last best and final. Now, we know that the international right now is clamoring. They want to be able to present news if this the strike ended and if they settled. And they, you know, we're probably not going to get the results until after the balloting. You know, I mean, we'll know, but at that point, there won't be – it won't affect the vote. They just want to get it. And really, you know, that haste to be able to try to get this – because they know it's making them look bad. You know, the worst thing they could do, implement season. You talk about peak season for sales for auto. You know, when it comes to implements, it's in the spring because that's when they start breaking ground to farm. You know, implements are farm tractors, and it probably was not in their benefit to do it right now hastily to try to get it done before the election. These guys would have benefited better had they held it off, you know, a couple months to right before the growing season. Now the company is going to be a lot softer in negotiations, so we'll see what they come back with. You know,
yeah, and that's the thing. I've not really commented a lot about because I don't know the details of it. But I, you know, I leave that to the members because I visited them out there when we were on our when we went out west to like Kansas and Missouri. We stopped, you know, we went back through and we stopped and visited strikers on the picket line there and. You know, man, it's terrible, man, just seeing. I mean, they had it tough, and, I you know, it's – so I don't want to do anything to detract from them because it's just a shame. It's a damn shame that they weren't getting $500 a week in strike pay and because that would have – you know, it would have helped them a hell of a lot more. And it's a shame that Curry chose to take that away from them because that was his doing. And but we can
well,
do it.
You betcha. $100 a week makes a difference sometimes. You know that. But I got to help on something here real quick because our union right now is set up like a hierarchy, okay? I mean, we can dispute the control they have from the top down.
Yeah.
The other thing you need to bring to everybody's attention is you need to understand Mr. Curry was against one member, one vote. He was outspoken about it. You have to understand, if Mr. Curry gets in there again, don't think he's not going to fight to get the delegate election system back in place.
Yep.
People need to remember that. This election is important for us to maintain one member, one vote. That's it.
And what else? And the other thing people need to remember is when you vote, when you elect those delegates to the convention, you know, elect people that, you know, see who puts their name in the hat. We need people to put their name in the hat that are going to go to those conventions and stand up for those things so that even if Curry got back in power, you know, they can shut it down. Because what they do now, you know, the top leadership goes out and they encourage appointed people to run for delegates and, you know, elected leaders to run for delegates because they know they can control them easier.
Right.
And so you get a bunch of delegates that are, you know, elected and appointed people that, you know, that the IEB, you know, can hold future jobs or, you know, product for their plants over their heads and try to get them to jump in line. So, you know, it's really important. Those convention delegate elections are so important. And that's where we can really, you know, the membership can really take back power is if they get together. They get, you know, groups of people to run for those jobs that, you know, are going to go there with the intention of taking care of the membership first. So that's one way to fight
right.
that back. But at the end of the day, yeah, if we beat Curry, then we're not going to have to worry about that because the delegates are going to run that thing. So,
yeah, that's
right.
Well,
I think a lot
for you as president, even after if you do get elected, the locals are still going to try to conduct business the way that they always have. And so that's going to be a challenge. You know, how do you get
well,
them to stop doing
that? You're spot on. I'm sorry to cut in. You're spot on with the locals conducting the business, how they usually run it. Because there's a lot of people that won't even go vote because they're voting in a trash can with a pen and paper.
Oh, please, let's not start talking about that trash can.
Well, I am going to talk about that trash can.
It's not a trash can.
Ridiculous.
It's a barrel. They're a barrel.
Yeah. Trash can, barrel. I mean, it's almost like you might as well just throw your ballot in the trash.
The same trash that they're used to pulling is the same stuff that they're going to, you know. So that's going to be the challenge. But yeah, no, she's right.
Well, I mean, you want to think it would be fair, right? But the locals are always doing this. They don't want to update nothing. I mean, why aren't we? It's I mean, 2023. Why aren't we having electric voting machines at our local?
And they've asked for them in the general council meetings, and
correct.
They were turned down. They always come up with there's not enough funding for those. But you don't own them; you lease them. So I don't understand that either. Something I want to ask Sean too, if he can explain it for the membership, the listening membership, the at-will locals. What is that about, at will? How can a member be at will and not belong to a local?
At large, you mean?
UAWX. UAWX.
I mean, at large.
Okay.
Thank you for the correction, Carrie.
No problem.
Honestly, you would have to explain that to me. I don't know that.
Okay. If you looked at the
the ballot count,
the counts,
yeah.
the unofficial ballot counts.
Yeah,
you have at large on
so
the
you have,
at large
so,
local. How do you have an at large local?
I don't know.
Why
isn't saying.
Every member a member of a specific local, not an at-large local? Where does that come in?
I'm trying to understand, like, do they run in districts and then they have, like, some at-large delegates or something where everybody gets to vote? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
I'm not sure.
Let me explain to Sean.
That are no longer around.
Please explain it, whoever that was.
Yeah, let me explain it to you, because I was down there. The at-large group, when they counted them,
yes.
I think there was 2,000 or 3,000 members that didn't have a local union hall.
Yeah,
and they called them an at-large group.
Yeah, I know what you're saying now.
And also,
a lot of that is retirees that were from other locals that may have closed and stuff. I know that because I know there was when they got to some of those. From what I was told, that was like retired members and stuff that were, that basically they were counting their votes after they counted, active locals.
The locals been disbanded. They don't exist anymore. My father-in-law,
ain't you, Sean?
Yeah. My father-in-law, one of the people that, George, I'm talking to you. One of those people was my father-in-law. He is a member of the at-large group. He was a member of Local 425 in Lorain. Lorain closed. Okay, he was retired out of 425. They kept it open for 3-4 years, and then they closed the local. So the local is no longer in existence, but he's still a retired member. So if he were still alive, then he would be a part of that group. But, for the numbers that they were counting in 2B, there's large numbers. The thing is, it's really difficult to be able to verify if these people are still alive or, that's a large number of ballots that really can't be traced.
But then who oversees – see, this is the problem. Who oversees those locals? How do members pay dues because they don't have a local? So, why aren't they transferred when their local closed? Why aren't they transferred to an existing local that's close by or within their unit or whatever?
And the closest proximity, like when 599 went away, we all went to 659.
Well, they'll probably transfer a bunch of them to Region 9 this election, I'm thinking.
Well, active members, I think they do, but I think a lot of this is retirees we're talking about, and I'm not sure because, retirees don't have to pay dues, but and some, they pay it, the $2 or $3 and stuff, but not all of them do, so I don't know. I think from what I understood, I think a lot of the at-large count was strictly retirees in that situation. But I don't want to speak like I don't know all that because that was really, that was the monitor ran the election. And I don't want to try to explain something that I don't know, exactly every detail of it.
I thank you for that. I just thought I'd bring it up because there is not enough transparency about that. No union member should be without a local number. There should be no at large or at whatever. There should be none of that. Everyone is entitled to be at a local with a number so that it can be counted in that local. Now, when you have at large, you could stick anybody in there, and we wouldn't know that.
And they may still be identified by their old local number, like if it closed, but maybe they and then put them in an at-large group. I don't know. Like I said, I hate to try to.
I get it.
I agree with you, Adrian. I mean, how do they get service? Even retirees need service for VBA and for other things.
Yeah.
They should be assigned to a local.
I'm just wondering about that.
Well, be able to answer that because they just put a new servicing rep in my Region 1D who now represents all retirees. But then I have a hard time understanding what Sean says because I have another friend, Thomas Adams from Buick City, who they threw into my local at 659. They're adding so many of these locals into my local. The Algamatum's getting so bad. Hell, we can't even try and run for a local election because, as in you, we can't get implants within our own freaking local. How's Paul on this thing? We're from Metal Fab. We can't go next door to the engine plant. What the hell?
Huh.
Okay. Hello? It's something to think about. It's really something to think about.
When I was down in Ohio, Region 2B, is I think I counted 9 locals, never turned in not one ballot.
Yeah, that was right.
The local leadership would have voted. If nobody else voted in the local, the leadership would have. So there's no way that a local is not going to return ballots.
That was strange.
Hey, if you guys don't mind, you mind if I pop over here? I really wanted to call in and just kind of follow up because I felt bad. I didn't get a call last week, but I'm trying to. I was on the road all week. I'm trying to get my stuff set because I got to get my butt back into work tomorrow so I can sit behind my desk and do nothing.
Well, you know, I can give you something. I can give you a task to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
Count the paper clips.
God bless you and good luck.
No, Adrian, that's Curry's job.
I'm going to go up there and get a trash can so I can put my ballot in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, what I said about the locals.
Sure.
That
would be a better system than sending them. That'd be a better system than the way they run these elections processes. You send them off and they sit there for a month unattended. Somebody sorts through them.
Agreed.
You know.
Agreed.
Nobody should have their hands on them until they go to be counted. I mean, that's an entire month they sat there. This should have all been done at the local level. All the ballots taken, whether it's electronic or punch card. The count's taken. They have local elections committees. They could have had this election done in 48 hours. There's no reason it takes 4 months to do an election. And all, I mean, okay, so you're a lot of time for campaigning. So, of course, there's no reason that it had to be extended all the way past Martin Luther King Day. Nowhere.
Yeah.
John, thanks for coming on. I voted for you, and it did go in the U.S. mail. Yeah. It went in the U.S. postal system.
Yeah, I appreciate it a lot. Yeah, I appreciate you guys getting on. I really enjoy the dialogue, and I like the questions because it, you know, and you know, like I've said on Facebook, I mean, I want to, you know, if I'm elected, I want to continue doing things like this because I think it's really important that, you know, one thing, even visiting Plant Gates, I mean, it's been a great experience because, you know, I mean, just getting to talk to people when they're coming and going, and just hearing their concerns and stuff. I mean, if the leader, you know, we've got to get more of that from our leaders. And I truly believe, you know, that's one of the things I want to focus on going forward. You know, if I'm elected, is that
this platform is going to be here. Hopefully you get elected in the future. If you need to address the membership, Don can run a simulcast. That way, you know, it could be broadcast. Some of the facilities are already wired with FM, so they could be on the line working and listening to you while you're addressing them or however it works out, but the platform will still be here.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys, and I'll be talking to you some more. So we got to bring this thing home and get to the finish line. So
there you go.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Good luck, Sean.
All right, we'll see you.
Goodbye. Now, I got a question for the membership or the callers or the main people. I just opened my door to take my puppy outside. Somebody put a brand new box, a Plexiderm skincare for my wrinkles under my old ass eyes. And, and by the way, I'm listening to this show. And I'd like to know who in the hell did that is all I want to know.
Cinnamon, we love you.
Okay, I'm sorry. My wife misdirected that box. That's your scrotum cream.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Good luck getting the wrinkles out of that.
Well, at least they didn't send you a case of Sculpt.
This is a 3-month supply. They're listening to the show. It said, we're listening to the show. So I don't know when they stuck it on my door, but that's that stuff you rub under your eyeballs, I guess. Anyway, LaShawn is on. Let's get LaShawn on real quick. Where is she at? Oh, well, I got everybody on. So, LaShawn, are you on?
Uh-oh.
Gotta press one.
Did you press one? Gotta press one.
Oh, yeah, you had to push one. Let me know you want. Oh, there it is. There it is. It's spinning.
Hello, LaShawn.
LaShawn, you're on. Okay, that's
hello?
Not LaShawn. 313,
hello?
You're
on. Who's this?
313, I just pushed you. Yeah, you're on. LaShawn.
I'm going to push you, too.
anybody that wants to get on, push one on your keypad. Let me know you want on, and I'll get you one. but
before somebody sends you a case of soap, right?
Who sent me? Oh, yeah. You don't want to talk about that either, Scott. You got a hell of a memory.
Anyway.
John keeps talking about getting it on. We're going to turn this over to Marvin Gaye here.
LaShawn, if you're listening, press one.
Yes, LaShawn. We are waiting to hear from you, dear young lady. Nope, not yet. Scotty?
I got a question for everybody that's on. What does everybody think about Mr. Fain coming on and time and the questions that he's answered for everybody that's on tonight? I myself, I'll start. I think it's a great thing that he comes on and answers questions. I'll leave it up to you guys.
Oh yeah, I think it's it shows a lot of class, to be honest with you. That changed a lot of people's, not a lot, but people that were going to vote the other way, that changed their mind because people were firing questions at him, not counting this show, but the previous shows, and they were really impressed. And he came back. He came back for the second week. And then the Curry was invited and never got even got back with a no. As far as I know, Scotty, did he ever get back with you?
Which one? Curry? No. No,
okay.
He did not. LaShawn says she's on now.
I see. Hang on. Let me get her. LaShawn, you're on.
Hi, guys. How everyone doing?
Hey,
LaShawn.
Hi.
Hello,
young lady.
This is how typical over here.
How's
it going?
The floor is on.
In the gym lately, working out.
Huh?
Said the floor is on you.
Go ahead, Don. Before nobody's talking, everybody's talking. I just want to say,
okay,
I've seen the pictures from the gym you were working out. It's good.
I had to do something to relieve some of this stress. You see, they're still coming for me, so you know. Which is unnecessary, improper. Talking about bought a chair, which I didn't. I'm actually sitting in a broken chair. Been sitting in a broken chair since I got here. But it's funny that you kind of win by all means possible just to talk shit. But no, I have not bought a chair. Do not have a new chair either. So it's amazing.
Right.
LaShawn, I don't like when people come up with different things, letters or what have you, and they show no proof. See, I'm a factual person. Show me proof. Show me proof that she received a chair, that she ordered a chair, you know, because your signature will be on there, and that you received it.
I would tell everyone how the process of ordering, it's a purchasing department. So certain things is purchased through purchasing department. So in reality, you tell them you need something, and they purchase it through a purchasing department, and then they go through their approved vendors. So in reality, if I say I needed a chair, they would go, probably it wouldn't be Bob, and they'll say, what color chair or something like that. But then it goes through a process. And then they have a price cost out of, you know, I'm sure they will have, you know, the prices that the most that it will pay. You can't just go buy a chair. I don't just buy a chair. I don't have a checkbook like that, but they have a whole department that is what they do. So you send a request or someone say, hey, Mason said this is broke. There's a whole other department, just so everybody is aware.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, it had to come from within or some way to say that. But I don't have a chair, guys. I don't have, but it is a whole process. They have a purchasing department to go through their approved vendors, and that's how it's done.
That'd be pretty stupid to make false accusations, though. I mean, working on staff and then doing that's not smart, I don't think.
I wish I could say a little bit more today. I really wish I could say just a little bit more. But I'm believe me, I am going to come back because there's some things I can't really talk about right now. But you are so correct in what you said. It's a damn shame that stuff like that is being said. With no facts.
Well, and the thing is, when you make false accusations like that, and not that one, I don't think that's the serious one, but, you know, if it was something on a more serious line, and we know that they're doing it for political reasons because the ballot's out, because if it was a real thing, there would be real charges filed. The same thing like the false accusation for the dark money. And, you know, I mean, if it was a real thing, there would be, but to go ahead and make false accusations that are unfounded, is definitely not a wise decision. I mean, I don't know any employer that you can work for where you can do that and they're not going to do something about it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I wouldn't talk about it either. But I like what you said,
you should not be able. You are making some valid points. I will say that.
Right. Well, you can't do that anywhere.
Valid points.
You cannot work for anybody and make a false accusation against your employer and expect that there will be nothing in return. So I know that they're pretty confident, or at least they feel that they're confident that their side's going to win and there's not going to be any. But, you know, they brought it on themselves if something does come from it.
Mm-mm. Like I said, I like what you're saying. That's all I can say.
Tell she's biting her tongue.
But I'm going to say this again. I have no tear. I'm going to say for the record, I have no tear. And no, I'm not having no parties or nothing like that. I have people visiting me because we're a busy office, but there's been no parties either, since they want to say that too. But there's no tear. But I like what you're talking about. I like the conversation.
Yeah, I was going to get angry that you didn't invite us to the party. Yeah, she had a party and she didn't even invite us.
I know. I didn't know. I wasn't invited either. It was in my office.
Well, I do want to congratulate you.
I will say it's a busy, busy job. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So the party is basically like learning the job and just making sure we get the right things and try to get some things in order so the membership feel the change and things are differently. And, you know, trying to do that as quick as possible and get ready with the possibility of us maybe needing to go on strike just to get some of the things that we need to have changes, which is very, very coming very, very fast, as you all know. And a special convention. And once the special convention comes out, from there it's going to be truly busy because it's on to negotiations from that moment on, just so you guys are aware.
Okay. Congratulations. I haven't got a chance to talk to you. I mean, you were, after the election, you were, you know, you got things you were taking care of, the inauguration or whatever, so you hadn't been back on the air. But I just want to tell you congratulations. I'm glad you made it. And the same thing
Thank you.
Rest of the people that were elected.
Thank you.
Now, how many locals are you going to be representing now?
So I have 44 locals, and there's a lot of units, right? But I have 44 locals, but there's a lot of units. And we're
right.
Organizing more. We just actually, one of the locals, Local 155, just organized a Magna, a Lear plant, proud of them. So people are, you know, organized. They want to join unions. But that is one thing that I have realized. There are people who want to join unions. So that's over in my region, who's a lot of, it's over, shoot, I forgot how many they said, 130,000 people. So that's a lot in just in region one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think
and
you can handle
and
it.
I got Canada, too. Oh, yeah, I can handle it. I love it. And I got Canada, too. A little part of Canada, of higher ed.
Awesome.
Canada, we got Canadian higher ed UAW members?
Yes, yes, we do.
Wow.
But I do want to make sure I thank everyone that supported me, since I haven't been on. I do want to make sure I do tell everyone thank you. Thank you all for your support. It was really appreciated.
Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have as many UAW members in Canada as we used to, you know, because it was CAW that it turned over to Unifor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But, hey, we got our foot back in the door. We'll start with that, right?
Well, yeah, like I said, it's higher ed. We didn't get the manufacturer, but it's higher ed. And I can say we're getting some couple EV plants in the area that they're actually looking to get organized to. So it's some organization, some organizing going on, a lot of it.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's really good. And like I said, you got the right person, excuse me, to do the job in you.
Thank you.
You go get them. You go get them. Go get them.
And I like that.
Anybody wants to complain about your chair, come out. I'll trade chairs with you for a while. You can sit in my broken-ass chair, and I'll sit in your chair for a little while.
Well, I don't know
just
if you
saying.
Want to sit in my broken chair, because my broken chair look like if I lean back, I look like I'm doing something I don't need to be doing. I can't lean back. That's all I can say. If I lean back, I'm waiting for something to drop on my face. That's all I can say. I don't think you want that chair.
Oh.
You can't picture it. Wonder why I'm sitting at the front of the chair. There's a reason. I can't hit the back.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, light's going up in the air and everything.
Uh-oh.
That type
that's
of
terrible.
50 Shades of Grey. No, just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, like you said, now when is the bargaining convention's coming up soon, right?
Yes, it is. We got the skill trade convention coming up in February. I think the bargaining committee is coming up in March, I believe.
Right.
Yes, usually.
That's the big one.
That's the big one.
I forget. Well, we'll see what. Go ahead.
We got another call here. Let me get 716. You're about to be on. You're on right now. 716.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
hey
hello.
Good evening.
Great. Hey, LaShawn. Hey, Jason. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Fantastic.
Groovy.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and give everybody an update on Dan. He came up here last weekend. We were able to get him to my plant, which is Tonawanda Engine Plant. We were able to get him to Buffalo, the Ford Stamping Plant. We were able to get him to the Lockport GMTH plant. We put a call into Rochester GMTH, but they were not working on the holiday. But the message is pretty much the same. Like, everybody is just fed up. He had a lot of great conversations with people, especially at the GMTH plant. They were very thankful that he showed up and interacted and got to meet a lot of the members. We stood outside in 5-degree weather, leafleting in the morning and in the afternoon. But to say that I'm proud to stand with him and leaflet is an understatement, and I'm just proud of everybody on the Members United slate for standing up and running. You know, and there's a lot of – I've seen some comments on Facebook from the Rochester plant saying that Dan forgot about them. That's not the case. Dan wanted to come out there and meet everybody. We actually did phone banking and talked to some of the members out in Rochester. There was no shifts working when Dan was here, so we were not able to show up there. But it's the message was the same, that everybody's just fed up with the status quo. And Dan and Lauren were actually at Buffalo's union meeting today. And the funny thing about it is Lauren basically endorsed Dan by saying that the UAWD was right, that we should have no concessions, no tears. And Dan was just like, look, like he had this look on his face, like, did she just say that?
Wow.
So, that was the greatest thing ever. She basically endorsed them.
Yeah.
Well, wow, moment of truth from the caucus. Right. Wow.
What's that?
And the thing with the Rochester, they just made an announcement at their plant, so that could be somebody from the administrative caucus posting shit on the internet. Oh, Dan didn't make it out here because they know that they made a product announcement, and that it could be the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's probably politics. And, Sean, I just want to say, Denise Brewer wanted to give a shout-out to you. He said she's glad you're on the show. So.
Thanks, Denise.
Here's the thing about it. Being in Tonawanda, we've done a lot of launches. We launched the Gen 5. And as everybody knows, we're not the only plant that builds the Gen 5. And I'm glad that Flint got new work. However, if they think that if everybody, you know, by them making this announcement, obviously it was for ballot baiting, I don't believe that Flint is going to be the sole producer of that engine, because there's no way they're going to keep up with customer demand. We can't keep up with customer demand running three shifts building the Gen 5. There are plans to build it. So it was just all perfectly timed, the Rochester announcement, the Flint announcement, Bay City. It was just all perfectly timed to make it look like the AC did this when they knew this was going well in advance.
That's right. Dan is right. They've been known to do this before.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope people aren't tricked into believing what a fine job they are doing down in Detroit for us. They're
not in Detroit anymore. They're in Southfield.
Yeah.
Southfield such a bad eye.
Sorry about that. Oh.
I don't even know if they sold the Jefferson address. They're selling a lot of UAW real estate right now, if I'm hearing right. Did they not sell the Williams home?
Oh, I don't know.
No, the one on Black Lake. I thought they just dumped that for 1.1.
They sold that and took the proceeds of that. By the way, that was funded through the help of using our strike fund interest. And then when it was sold, the proceeds went back to the general fund. How is that reformed?
Yeah, that money should have went to the strike fund. But, you know, we have those creative accountants up there, too. We have creative accountants and we have trustees that's not doing their jobs.
Yep.
So what else do we expect? We got to get this house cleaned up.
Thank you for pointing that out about the trustee, sister. This is another reason why, folks, I think we need to get rid of these 12-year term limits for their lazy asses there, as I should speak.
And they should have been brought up on charges along with Dennis Williams and Gary Jones also.
Yep.
But you didn't hear that from me.
I said it. I'll say it.
Yeah, that's something about these elections that I can't wrap my head around. At the local level, we elect our trustees. Trustees are major checks and balances.
Yes.
And they're elected officials that do it voluntarily, unpaid, but yet we have no checks and balances. Just like the caucus administration picking this officer to oversee themselves. That's not checks and balances. That's not reform. That's not transparency. That's enabling corruption to continue. Just in a different manner.
than what's already been exposed by the federal government.
I actually spoke with the gentleman that that won the first trustee spot at the convention, and he told me out of his own mouth that he didn't know he was running until the night before. They tapped him on the shoulder and said he was going to be their candidate. He had no idea that he was even running until the night before. And they basically handpicked him. I believe he's from Puerto Rico. I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure. But there was some delegates that I will not name. But they were, when he came over to talk to us, we asked the delegates, do you know who this is? And they said, no. And we said, that's the guy you just voted for trustee. They didn't even know who they were voting for. They were just told to vote for him, and they did. So it's all BS. It's all handpicked. And it's what we need to get away from. This membership, the union is not to be self-serving. It is here to serve the needs of the membership. And we need to get back to that.
Right.
And this
and they
is
didn't
why
know
we also need a roll call. We need a roll call on every vote that the delegates vote. We need to know how our delegates that we elect vote.
Hear, hear.
Because they
right.
come back
here, here.
In the facility and they lie to you. Or they don't tell you nothing.
You know,
yep,
you know what I did? I did one better. I watched how my delegates voted on everything, and I kept track of it. And I made a huge long post on my Facebook page, how my president and my two others, and I all posted it. And I got a knock on my hotel room door asking me why I did that. And I said, because you are supposed to serve the needs of the membership, not yourself. And
you're not going to be a delegate next time.
Do you think I care? What are they going to do? Take away my birthday? I don't give a shit. They need to know how your delegates voted and why they voted that way. So I made a big huge long post on my Facebook page, and I said, now you can be held accountable and go back to the membership instead of lying to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did.
Well, you want to talk about what happened, what the circumstances were when you met Rensen Bar and you bumped into
oh, yeah.
people?
Oh, absolutely.
You never got a chance to talk about it, but I think Ray is due the opportunity to tell the story, what happened.
Yeah,
so that way
so
people really know what happened.
You know, everybody saw, you know, when I went on Brian Keller's Facebook Live and we were, you know, debating back and forth, and he was talking, you know, about me being in the bar with Ray Curry. So my chairman and myself went to the Rensen Bar because we were staying in the Rensen. So there's one bar inside there, and we didn't feel like walking around downtown Detroit. We went to the bar. So we're sitting at the bar, and inside the bar is Jimmy Lakeman, Brian Zapp over at the far table, Cindy Estrada, Matt Slade, which is her boyfriend, was at the table behind us. Matt Slade actually threatened me on Facebook, by the way, for stuff that I posted. But so Tom Ashton was in there. There was a few other people in there. So we're sitting at the table, and that was the day that they nominated Dana Davison 63 times for trustee. It took 3.5 hours for the nominations. In the rural state, you're only supposed to nominate a candidate twice, and after that, you cannot nominate them anymore. Well, they did it. They kept doing it. All Terry Dittus would say was, brother, you're out of order, sister, you're out of order, but they let them give a 2-3 minute speech on why they wanted to nominate Dana Davison. So it was just a game that the AC was playing. So we're in the bar, and in comes walking Ray Curry. And my chairman is like me, the rebel rouser. And I said, Mike, I said, you got to screw with Ray Curry. You got to F with Ray Curry. He goes, well, what do you want me to do? And I said, tell him you want to nominate Dana Davison for the 64th time. So over comes walking Ray Curry to the table, and Tom Ashton introduces Ray Curry to my chairman. And my chairman's like, oh, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I just got one thing to ask you. And Ray was like, what's that? And he goes, I want to nominate Dana Davison for the 64th time. And Ray Curry says, I told those delegates in that room this morning that everybody in that fucking convention was going to know her name by the time we got done with this convention. He goes, if you young kids think that you're going to take over this convention, you got another thing coming. So my chairman looks at me and says, see how easy it is to fuck with them when they think you're on your side? So he looks at me because I have my union shirt on, and he says, don't I know you? No. He goes, have we ever met? And I go, no. I go, but I'm the guy that kicks your balls into the media every chance I get. And he looked at me, and he turned around, and he walked out of the bar. And that was the end of the interaction that I've had with Ray Curry.
Wow, good for you.
Damn.
So there was no, you know, sucking up to Ray Curry. There was none of that going on.
It's not like you guys planned a meeting to go hang out somewhere. You just happened to be in the Renson, staying in a hotel, and went down to the lounge that they
had.
Well,
that's where they put all the delegates up, is at the Renson. There's two different towers, right, and we're all staying at the Renson, and there's one bar inside the Renson, one main bar, right, that's always open. I mean, there's rooms for when we have our regional dinners, but that's
right,
where we were.
Well, you know, when you initially came on, you apologized to me, and I don't think that apology was due. If anything, I gave you a lot of shit. And because of the circumstances and the way that it played out and what actually happened, once I found out, I think that I owe you an apology.
The thing. I appreciate that, but here's how I look at it. Things happen for a reason, right? Everything happens for a reason. And the last thing in the world that the AC thought was going to happen is that the Keller supporters and the UAWD supporters were going to join forces. And we did, because we're doing it for the betterment of the membership.
Agreed, 100%. It couldn't have played out any other way.
I applaud everybody that stood up and ran. Everybody. I applaud you for standing, because it took a lot of courage to do that. You know what I mean? And we all did it. You guys all did it for the same reason. You all did it for the betterment of the membership. And that's what we all wanted in the end.
If we had plotted that, you know, both of the candidates, Sean and the UAWD and Sean's supporters we were going to work together towards the AC, they would have found a way to divide us towards the end, because that's the way it always happens. The infighting destroys the reform movement. It had to play out the way that it did. And it just goes to show they're not as smart of politicians as they thought they were.
I had Matt Slade call my chairman and tattle on me about what I posted. And then I had Cindy Estrada call my president and tattle on me about what I posted, because she made that post when she was on vacation, destroying, trying to trash Sean Fain. So I dug into the legal records, and I found how much the UAW has spent on her legal fees in 2022. It's all public records. So I made a post about it. Well, they didn't take very kindly to it, and next thing I know, her boyfriend's threatening me, telling me he's going to see me in Detroit. If I feel froggy, we can jump in Detroit, keep my name out of his mouth, keep her name out of my mouth. So they call my president and chairman and tattle on me, and I'm like, guys, what are you guys going to do, take away my position? I don't care. I'm still going to post shit. What are you going to do, take away my birthday? I don't care. You know what I mean?
That's
At the end of the day, it's the truth. Whatever I posted, like Adrian said, was factual. I posted factual information with names, dates, and money. So the truth, like, what's wrong with that?
Right. Well, the end result is they just want to shut you up. So if they can scare you, whatever it is, if they can coerce you, if they can offer you stuff, and you have damaging things, and you're effective, and you have influence, they're going to do whatever they can to take that away. I've been going through that this entire elections process. They continuous accusations. Oh, you're not a member. Let me tell you my story, man. Let me tell you my story. I'm going to tell you that I know what it's like to be in a position when your facility is shutting down. When facilities, there's six facilities inside of the, I just went through a plant closing. There's six facilities inside the system that are going. You got nowhere to go. And you're put in a position where while you have nowhere to go, they offer you money. And I don't want to see anybody ever put in that position again. Now, Trenton's going through it, Romeo Engine. These people have no places to go. The facilities that will accept them, just like when we went through a consolidation, when we got there, we weren't treated right. They divided the facility. We had more seniority, at least our half of the membership, and we were not allowed to transfer into departments based on seniority. They had complete lockouts. And it was to protect the existing workforce. So you got these people in Romeo and Warren and all these facilities are closed. They're going to end up backfilling in vacancies around the country where the chairman, we've got people getting hired from the street at the same time that Romeo Engine's out. You know what I mean?
Right. 30
seconds left, everybody.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, I think all of you owe me an apology, to be honest with you.
All right,
guys,
I'm sorry. Whatever it is.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Good night, boy.
Good night, Laurie Ann, or whatever the hell your name is. Larry Ann.
Good night, everybody.
Sean.
Good night, Sean.
Good night, everybody.
Keep your head up and keep doing good.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. We'll be back next Sunday night to end out January. Everybody be safe.
Good night, sweetheart.
And take care.
Good
night.
Thank you.